Paid maternity leave saves babies' lives, and more saves more. That's according to a new study out of McGill University and UCLA. It shows that for every additional month of paid maternity leave offered to women in low- and middle-income countries, the infant mortality rate drops by a full 13%. That's saving 8 out of every 1,000 babies. That paid leave is good for a baby's welfare has already been shown in high-income countries. This was the first study in lower- and middle-income countries. Professor Erjit Nandis teaches at McGill's Institute for Health and Social Policy. He was a leader in the study and joins us from Montreal. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is pretty remarkable. You had a full 13% reduction in infant mortality for every month added. Have I got that right?
That's right. For every additional month of paid leave that was made available to new mothers in our sampled countries of low and middle income countries, there was a 13% reduction in the infant mortality rate.
Yeah, so how did you do the research?
The first part was to identify changes in paid leave policies across countries. So we collected information for all countries in the world going back about 20 years to identify which countries had actually implemented changes in the duration of paid leave. Mm-hmm. And we then actually leveraged those changes to identify effects on infant mortality rates. So the basic design is to compare trends in infant mortality in countries that increased the generosity of their leave policies relative to those countries that didn't.
And so which were some of these countries, middle, low income, that were adding paid leave?
There were five that actually increased the duration of paid leave. That included Bangladesh, Kenya, Lesotho, Uganda, and Zimbabwe.
Did they do anything else? I mean, do you know that it's the paid leave that made the difference?
That's the key threat, right, to the type of study that we've designed. So if there are other policies, for example, that were implemented at the same time that also impact infant mortality rates, that could lead to bias in our effect estimates, and we try to control for some of those effects, but that's one of the potential limitations of our study.
Right, and right now you believe that this is just the increased paid leave. Well, let's repeat the oft-quoted fact about the countries that provide no paid maternity leave. It's a short list. It includes Papua New Guinea, Suriname, and the United States. what we're saying is that, you know, paid maternity leave helps save babies' lives, but we don't feel in the United States, I mean, it doesn't feel as if we have a problem with infant mortality. Or do we? Is the number here higher than it should be?
I would say, and probably most experts would agree, that the number in terms of infant mortality in the United States is higher than it should be. So among OECD countries, it is one of the worst performing in terms of neonatal and infant mortality rates. And as you indicated, it's one of the few countries that does not provide any federally mandated paid leave for mothers, although there are some states that do provide benefits.
So perhaps the United States could benefit from this as well. But tell us more about why you think this is happening. We know you didn't research that. You just researched to see what happened when paid leave was increased. But what do you suspect is the reason?
Well, there are several mechanisms that could be at play. So if mothers are guaranteed job protection right after giving birth to a child, this can reduce prenatal stress, which could be one mechanism, but it could also facilitate health behaviors such as exclusive breastfeeding and also increases in vaccination coverage. And we've done some research which actually shows that increases in paid leave were associated with increased uptake of certain vaccines.
Why do you think that is? Because the mother has the time to do it?
I think so. When women have paid leave after birth, there's no longer, at least for that protected period, this potential conflict between work and demands for caregiving. And so if those demands are removed, that facilitates health-promoting behaviors in some cases. Another mechanism that could also be important is in terms of treatment, because in the first part is prevention, but if children do fall sick during the first few months after birth, if a mother is given time off from work, she's more likely to then seek care from health professionals, which could also have beneficial impact in terms of reducing infant mortality.
Yeah. So what do you hope to do with this research?
Well, I think there's a lot of room for improvement in terms of increasing paid leave. A lot of research now indicating that it has beneficial effects now both in high-income countries but also in lower-income contexts. We've shown, if you look at the countries which have the highest rates of infant mortality and maternal mortality, the benefits in terms of paid leave are actually very low. So a median of about 13 weeks is provided to mothers in the countries that account for almost all infant and maternal mortality worldwide. Our research indicates that just increasing that by a month could have a noticeable impact in terms of reducing infant mortality rates. So that would be one of our recommendations.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, you say your goal is not to create stress for parents, you know, by letting them know this, but it's bound to do that. It's bound to be devastating for working parents in the U.S. You know, we call the U.S. a high-income country, but not everyone has that high income, and not everyone can afford to take off from work for maternity leave if it's not paid.
That's absolutely right, and that's why the International Labor Organization mandates or has a standard for not only the duration of paid leave, but also the wage replacement rate. And so currently, in the U.S. context, which you're referring to, there are acts that do provide for unpaid leave. So that includes the Family Medical Leave Act, which applies to most workers in the United States, but not workers who are employed by small businesses. But there's no wage replacement guarantee. And so a few states in the U.S., including most recently New York, have now enacted policies to provide paid leave, although the durations are still very short. So the maximum duration is now in New York, which will take effect starting in 2018, I believe. But that will cap out at 12 weeks, which, as I indicated, is worse than more than half of the countries that have the highest rates of infant mortality. So not quite as far as we would recommend.
Well, and as you say, the longer the better. That's what your research found.
Especially for countries which have low durations, the impact was even greater. So going from, for example, 12 weeks to 16 had a bigger impact than going from 16 to 20. So for those countries which are really not offering a great deal of paid leave in terms of the duration, there is a larger potential impact.
So obviously a better outcome for babies, reduced mortality rate. Could you tell the outcome for mothers? I mean, it's obviously better for the mother if their baby thrives, but was there anything else you could see?
So we haven't looked at outcomes for mothers in particular. There is a lot of research which has done that already. And most of that research, there seems to be consensus that increasing the duration of paid leave is beneficial for mothers for the same kinds of mechanisms that we already talked about in terms of providing secure job protection, reducing stress around the time before and after birth. So we do think it's beneficial for mothers as well.
That's Arjit Nandi of McGill's Institute for Health and Social Policy, part of a team of researchers that concluded that longer paid maternity leaves led to lower infant mortality rates in low and middle income countries. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.